Careful number.
This is one of a series of tapes sponsored by the Kentucky Folk History Foundation. On the subject of health care in rural Kentucky. Going to be interviewing Judge John Garner on his father's country practice in Pulaski, Dr. Tom M. Garner.
Seems like you deal with health problems even in this role of judge executive, don't you, County?
Oh, yes, you did.
You're talking about some hearsay rumors about bad water or something.
Right.
Couldn't help it over here. How long have you been in this work, Judge?
I've been, I was judge 12 years, and I was out 8, and I'm back again. I'm the only Democrat was ever elected to judge's office in Pulaski County. It's a strong Republican county.
Right, I know. This whole area down in here, isn't it? Yeah. Booker and Wayne here. Yeah.
What was you wanting to know about my father?
Yes, I'd like to go back, if we could, about him going to get his training.
Well, you might have about it going all the way back to his birth and then coming on up with it.
Right, right. I'd like to, first of all, if you talk to us about him going to where he got his training.
Okay, all right. He was born in 1883 on Wolf Creek in western Pulaski County. His father was a school teacher who had received his teacher certificate by after going through the eighth grade, coming to the county seat and taking an examination that was given by the state, which qualified him as a school teacher. My father went to the 8 grades in one room school. And after finishing the 8 grades in the one room school, he took the examination to become a school teacher. So what he would do would teach a year. And at that time, the University of, there wasn't any university, it was Eastern. There was a school there called a normal school. Do you know what that is?
Yes, a teaching, training school. Mm-hmm.
So he would go to school 1 year, teach 1 year, then he'd go to school, and he'd making his subjects for medical school that he took over there. And he'd come back and he'd teach a year, and he'd go back a year. Save the money and go back for another year until he got that course. Then, after he got that course, he entered the University of Louisville. And he graduated from the University of Louisville in 1910. They had just beginning to have a 4-year medical school, and some intern work in 1910. Their intern work was more or less them that wanted to could just volunteer and go down to the hospital in Louisville and help around the place any way that they could, you know. Just watch the doctors and talk to the doctors and get supervision to the best of what they could get, you know. Then he came to Pulaski County and he settled in Valley Oak, Kentucky. That's 8 miles from here on 461. He practiced by horseback. In those days, even after I could remember, we lived there until I was 6 years old. My dad might not ride the same horse home that he rid away in, because he'd ride a horse, and then if his horse got tired, it'd load him. Another horse, and he'd come back in like that with another horse. At that time there was a time here that we were out of telephones, but at that time we had a local telephone system where you ring, and you get somebody. Well, my father couldn't cover all the country that he had to cover. So in each community, he set up a midwife, or they called them granny women. And they'd call on the phone, and he'd always try to see these women at least once during their pregnancy. Tell them not to get too fat, eat good food, keep their bowels open, take a little, what he'd recommend was supersaturated solution of Epsom salts to keep their bowels open so they wouldn't be constipated, and mainly to eat right and not lift too much. But he'd always try to see him once during the pregnancy, if he could. Then he would, when it came time for the baby to come, he would have the midwife to see them. Then if the midwife deemed it necessary, then he'd ride to the theater. But lots of women actually had their second child, first child maybe, or the second child. It wasn't too big a problem, and the midwife would take care of it. But then he had to ride several problems. But he would pretty well know some of the problems that were going to come up before they came up that give him time to ride, see.
It's extremely interesting. What year was that, would you say, when he got this network of midwives?
1718, that was a little bit before I was born. Mm-hmm. I'll take you into 1718 in a minute, too.
1918, you mean?
Yeah, 1917.
1917, you
said.
1918,
yeah. Okay, all right. These midwives, the last that died not too long ago.
I interviewed one.
The last one that he had.
Oh, I see, yes.
Yeah,
sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she had started out at a younger, younger woman. Okay. In 1917 and 18, they had a flu epidemic during World War I. My father was slightly crippled. Had a sort of a back injury, not a back injury. In later years, he said it was probably been polio that he'd had, but he had it as a small child. He took his examination for the Army. Due to the civilian population not having any doctors anywhere, hardly. They were all going to service. They gave him time off, to practice medicine. And do the flu epidemic too. He didn't have to go because the flu was so bad. Not only was it killing everybody in the service, it was also killing all our civilians off too. Very bad situation. And he never did have to go in service because the war was over for them. Deferment was that he had some sort of a deferment to stay out right here. A doctor then, not only did he do his medical work, he did dentistry, pull some teeth for people if they need him pulled. He'd examine their eyes. We'd go over and see that thing where they examine the eyes with, if you want to, after a while. He examined the eyes. Back then, when I was 62 years ago, or 60 years ago, I can remember now, about three, a lot of people couldn't write. Not the doctor, he took care of their writing, some of their letters, helping them with their, a lot of things that the doctor did other than just practice medicine. He'd maybe write a will for somebody. See, back then they didn't have to have a lawyer, or he might write a mortgage for somebody, or just a simple IOU for somebody that was buying a cow or something, you know, somebody else and promised to pay him for the cow, or trading him a shotgun and then's going on so many dollars and they're getting a cow. He took care of those little things too for, you know, the people around me. And I believe if, you know, at the present time in court there's a malpractice suit against, I don't think anybody dared.
Against the doctor and that time?
Mm-hmm. No, they wouldn't have dared because the neighbors would kill them.
What kind of fees did he charge?
Well, he charged $10 for delivering the baby. Five first. Then up about 1942, about this boy died, he started charging $10.
Did he ever do any work with animals? Ever advise people on things that?
He'd advise them, but he didn't. He'd tell them what to do, but they had thought it was beneath him to work on animals. He just wouldn't. He'd tell you what to do, and he loved dogs. And we worked. He'd work on our dogs. We had lots of hounds. He'd do that too. Yes, but he would not do something for somebody else on animals. He wouldn't do that. He did. I know a lot of people seen him do animal, but they were his dogs. You know, they were.
Well, he had his hands full with people, didn't he?
that's right. He never did. But now he'd advise them what to do. Yeah. He'd tell him what to do for a dog and tell him how to get worm medicine and worm a dog. And all those things, and see, just like these other things, though. He didn't bother with him. I mean, he just, I don't know why, he has had a little something against veterinarians other than his own. He's probed out a lot of bullets in his time. I lost them. I had about 8 or 10 in a little jar that he had taken out people at times.
So he would do minor surgery as well as...
Right, yes. One specialty that used to be a common known thing is a bone felling. Have you ever heard of one? Huh?
I've heard of that, yeah.
And another one was carbuncles that come on the back of the neck.
I felt that. I've had that.
I mean, he'd operate them, you know. Mm-hmm. And he did minor surgery, yeah. And he later in life, he assisted in with some of the other doctors after we moved to town here.
But now this before the surgery would be done in the home, right?
Oh yeah, they're usually at our house. We had a room set up basically for that.
So when he moved to the town here, he did assist in working some of the clinics, did he?
Yeah, he worked some of the clinics, worked with some of the other doctors, and he'd go stand by with Dr. Waddle. I don't mean Dr. Waddle. No, not Dr. Waddle either. Dr. Norfleet. Dr. Norfleet lost his hand by doing some research in X-ray. Hmm. Oh, by the way,
yes.
Here's something you kick out of. The government used to, see, it didn't have any immunization, no health departments, that thing. But he could order the medicine free. There was a place the government would send him the medicine free. So then he would ride to the schoolhouse, the one-room schools, and I've gone with him. If we went in the buggy, I'd go with him. Sometimes he went in the buggy. The first thing he'd do, he would have me to roll up my sleeve, give me a shot of distilled water, show the rest of the kids it didn't hurt. It did hurt. He gave me distilled water and he said, now see, and it's all right because I gave my little boy a shot. And then they'd line up. And the medicine came in a little wooden bottle, about a little wooden thing. It was ampule and a little wooden thing. And he'd say, now, the smallest girl that don't cry gets this, you know, little thing that came in. Nothing, really.
Kid wanted it, though, wouldn't he?
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, he wanted it. They wanted it, so. And he'd line them up. Well, a few people would pull her children out. I mean, if he didn't want it, he'd always notify the teacher before he was coming. If somebody didn't want it, for them to notify the teacher that they wouldn't give them their typhoid shots. Typhoid is what it was.
That's what was needed too, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
This was a bad area for typhoid, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, yes, yes.
I've heard somebody say over in the Antioch community was particularly bad.
Yeah, typhoid was bad.
What is it? Why is it so bad here? Is it the drainage or something?
It's, I don't know. It gets in, it's caused by water. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have typhoid carriers too. People who carry it who never have typhoid. And of course they can urinate in the stream or their stools or feces will show what causes it.
Well, that's very interesting that your father was in preventive medicine that way before there was any help structure. He got the serum free from some of the government somewhere?
Yeah, okay. I don't know when we first started having the United States Health Department. But we had a United States Health Department, but we didn't have these county. And he'd order it. And also, he got smallpox. Smallpox. Of course, he gave people smallpox examination too. My father wasn't ever interested in accumulating a lot of money or I have property, but I inherited it all on from my mother, my grandmother, on my mother's side, nothing. My dad died at a very young age by working so hard nights. He never failed to make a call. If he could make a call, he made it. And he'd, his greatest sport was fox hunting.
The old way, the traditional way?
Yeah.
Sitting around listening?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
That was his, him playing checker. Oh. Had a back office as we moved to town here, where older men sat back there and played checker. I remember when Supper Drug first came out. You know, that ain't been out too long. Sulfamilamide, they started coming out. '38, '39, '40, somewhere along there. That's. See, he didn't have a lot of drugs back then either.
Right.
What else would you
like? In that regard, he seemed to have such a real good relationship with the folk practicing in the midwifery. How did he relate to the urban root type of doctors, or were they very prevalent when he started practice?
Which one are you talking about?
I'm speaking about doctors that would use herbs and roots as part of their medicine.
Oh, well, see, he didn't, have any problem with them. Well, for instance, one time that we had an Indian doctor here in town. And someone brought charges against him for what he was selling. But my dad wouldn't enter into it. Fellow named Dr. Rabbitfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
I've heard him, yeah.
Okay. Dad used in the back office, he had, and I'm a laboratory technician, learned a lot of it from Dad, and I went to school too. But he run a test on Dr. Rabbitfoot's medicine. He came out with this answer. I think he put him on the stand out here in court. He said that there was nothing in it. There was a laxative in it, and a good laxative wouldn't hurt nobody.
Right. I could use one right now. Right. That's great.
And he said that it was better than taking because Dr. Rabbitfoot had boiled his water and stuff for, you know, this medicine had been boiled. And he said it was just a nothing, but people wouldn't take it. It had psychological effect, he said, but it didn't, as far as anything else, it didn't hurt you, didn't it? If you thought it was going to help you, it might help you. Oh, my father always felt like that a lot of these remedies that these old ladies used that had a, especially on poultices that had growing effects, like onion poultices on boils, and he seen nothing wrong with those. I mean, he said that there wasn't anything wrong with it. Only one thing that he really would fuss about was people who would stop bleeding by putting soot out of the stove into the someone would get a cut on their face or something, they'd get a handful of soot and start to bleeding.
Spider web.
Yeah. Now he objected to that. He said that and he would really get after some mother that put it on an awful pretty little girl, and he would work for hours trying to clean it up. All he had was water. He didn't have the other things to do it with, and he couldn't stand alcohol, of course, and you just have to do it with clear water. Now here's one that you will really get a kick out of, if you've never heard of it. For measles, sheep shit tea.
Heard of it. Yeah.
You've heard of that?
I've heard of
it. Okay, let me tell you what my father thought about sheep shit tea. They call him and say, "Now, Doc, will that do any good?" Doc will say, "I don't recommend it, but now if you want to use it, you go ahead and use it." But he said, "Now, if you're going to use it," said, "I won't tell you how to use it." He said, "You boil it, and you boil it strong," he says, "and you let it boil and boil and boil." He says, "Then you strain it, be sure you strain it and get all the, everything out of it." He says, "Then you put back on the stove and reboil the again." And then he says, "You let them patient drink it just hot, as, not too hot, but just as hot as he can bear it." One day I said, "Daddy, you know that stuff don't do no good." He says, "No, but," says, "how else you gonna get them to drink hot water?" Hot water brought it out, the heat brought it out.
Right.
Not the nothing in that.
Yeah.
So he says, "Why why tell them that they won't do it when they are going to get some help from it? But you couldn't tell them to go home and boil some water and drink it as hot as it stands." He said, "Ain't going to do no good." So that was one of it. And a lot of these things that my father thought that maybe if there wasn't anything, as long as it didn't hurt. Now, for instance, the spiders, webs, and that sort of thing, he really objected to. But now, none of these poultices that you put on.
And the teas and things that they drank.
The teas. He said it was the heat that went in the body
How do you care for him being so wise in terms of the culture that was here? Is it? He grew up
in the culture here. Then he studied all the time. See, he got everything. See, the state used to put out a medical journal. They'd put out the state had a medical journal. He read the new things that's coming out, and he'd read all the pamphlets that they put out by the pharmaceutical houses, and he was one of the first people to diagnose a tularemia in this county.
What is that?
It's caused from a rabbit, the blood of a rabbit. called tularemia. It's a serious, serious disease. I don't know whether he had a knack for it or a, but on making diagnosis, a lot of doctors looked to him for diagnosis.
I heard that. Yeah.
They looked to him. I mean, he could, a panic, he could get one in a hurry when he found out. Of course, he didn't do the surgery, but he recommended right on to the. And I've been around the office, and they go to the hospital and they call in and say, "Well, doc, you're right again. The panic was hot." His success with mothers and the babies was what he claimed was his success. Rush the baby coming, that he would wait and that nature would take its course. A few times he had to use other things, but that nature would take its course, and he may have to wait 3 or 4 hours, but to be a little more pain on the mother, but be a more healthy baby, more likely, and that was one of his successes that he said was success with mothers.
Was his whole practice orientated toward the home? Did he do, toward the end of his life, did he begin to do more work with hospitals and clinics when it came to time?
Very little, only on patients that he would take. Like standby for appendix operation, is like I say, is Dr. Norfleet or Dr. Wall. Dr. Wall was a surgeon.
If you would, at this time, this sort of leaving your father, but if you could tell me a little bit about the development of clinics and hospitals with the years here in this community. I know in some of the things that happened, you know, I've got just the dates and the time, but if you could just give a little, because you know, when did they first start getting clinics of any size?
Well, we started getting health doctors, what they call it, county health doctors and county health nurse. The county health nurse and the county health doctor started doing just about what my father and so. Now, he wasn't the only doctor to give these shots in schools. There was other older doctors that did that.
Something I didn't know. That's good information. Yeah. But now, no other doctor did what he did with the midwives, did he? Or did he? That you know of?
No, but if some other doctor wanted to use one of his midwives, they did it.
I see. So he had a system for the whole.
Yeah. That's.
That is a tremendous thing. I think that's new. But go ahead with the public nurse.
Well, we started getting a public nurse, the public school nurse, and a health doctor.
What year was that?
Oh, I don't know. That must have been in somewhere around 25, 26, somewhere, 28 maybe. Then we developed into the health department and county health department. And recently, and I was one of the instrumental people of doing it, we have formed a 10 county, what they call a regional health department. I worked on it when I judged before, but evidently it got broken down. There's 5 of them in it, but we have what they call a head district here. And now we have all 10 counties that's operated over here, the health department.
And what type of work do they do? Just, for instance, in the area of care of the mother and delivers, do they function in any way in that respect?
The health department, yes, they have a clinic over there, and they go to the clinic and
get prenatal care.
For people who can't afford it to go. And then after they go over there, there's some people that can't even pay their, they'll need a, I can read a prescription. They can't pay for their prescription. And I have a little fund here for the county that I will okay a prescription for, say, iron. There is a few things that I will not okay. I won't okay one, even if they haven't got money to pay for it. Valium.
Get you in trouble, could
any of those? I want to authorize the out of county fund, which I have a little fund, not a great big fund, but some fund for some of these people who are so poor that they can't even get their need to iron, or they need to. Then I also, they have a clinic over for children, and sometimes the doctor will say that, and I can't see where it hurt it, or how much, that the baby needs lots of fluids, and they recommend 7-Up. So I'll write a little girl order for 7-Up, buy 7-Up the baby. They have a meal program over here. It'd be best for you to go by and find out everything they have from them, because
I would really like maybe to talk to them, get an interview maybe with the person who's director of the regional program. But this is real interesting, though. What you're doing, though, was done almost exclusively in the past, wasn't it? The county judge was on magistrates, didn't they have quite a bit to do on helping indigent care back down there?
Oh, yes.
They were about the only, they would give doctors the money to do.
Yeah.
It's amazing that this still, there was another question I wanted to ask you a lot of, but, about the, you're talking about wooden get prescription for Valium or pay for that. Do you remember when medicine began to be more regulated because of the drugs and what period was that?
Yeah, yes. In 1939, you could buy paregoric. At the drugstore, you go sign for it. You could buy liquor terpentine codeine, which is for cough. The codeine gives it a little. You could buy that without prescriptions. Just sign for the paregoric has opium in it. Of course, the liquor terpentine codeine has codeine in it. I'd say sometime about 1941. Now, up in back previous, and this was previous to my father practicing medicine, you could buy morphine at the general store in the community. And Ledman drops, and they buy them, they were for babies and so forth. But they had that sort of thing in them. You've heard of catnip tea too, haven't you? A lot of people still use that.
Yeah. It's all new to me, all these the things that...
What about, has anybody told you that worms...
Worm seed?
About people having worms?
No, I knew that that was a problem. I know in my area it was. And
yeah, they speak, but there's modern doctors still trying to take it there, isn't it, that people have it. You get a hookworm, you get a pinworm, get them from pets a lot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're pinworms is easy isolated. Yeah. They only come out at night, maybe, around the angle. Mm-hmm. Put a little piece of Scotch tape there in the middle of the night, and you pull that out, put it on a slide, and you can see them eight.
Well, now the hookworm, wasn't there a program, a big program to get rid of the...
There was a, yes, yeah, the hookworms. There's one on TV. We had TV pretty well uncontrolled. In my readings, the people who are coming into the country, a lot of them illegally and so forth, are bringing it back. Several diseases that we had almost completely, and TB is one of them. Several strains of venereal diseases that are coming back. Mm-hmm. Right now, the venereal disease has got, there's not the control it once was on venereal disease. But I'll tell you something cute on that one too. This girl had gone up to Cincinnati and she got BD, and she came back and she passed it out. In the neighborhood, some married women and so forth, but like say, then my father, the people he knew, he had good contact with. He just gets in touch with her father, tells her that she's got a venereal disease, that she'd give it to so-and-so and so-and-so, and she knew he had a venereal disease. Bring her in, get her treated. So, back then, people were different. Right now, it would make a father mad for a doctor telling his daughter had venereal disease. He marched her in and she got the treatment. Took the treatment. Gonorrhea. His kid and daddy about said, you kill the goose that laid the golden egg. In other words, all these people were paying you for their treatment. She's passing it out. He says, you're crazy, Doc. He says, you just killed a goose that's laying the golden egg.
That's the thing that's fascinating to me. The way they could operate in a community and get these things done among themselves without having to be forced to do them through some other program. Because they had that community, I guess, didn't they? They knew each other well enough.
Yeah. Like I said, there wasn't a bit of a danger of my father getting a malpractice. Because if he did, some of his neighbors would go down and say, wait a minute, Doc, don't you go up there and bother Doc. Remember, he cut a bullet out of so-and-so. And they just wouldn't stand for that. But now they urge it. I'd like to get a copy of that when you write it out.
I will.
Mm-hmm. I wish you'd send me a copy of it. I'd like to see it.
Well, this tape, we'll send you a tape for one thing, and one go in the library, and one in the state archives. Can you think of any other anecdote like that? That's really interesting. That was very telling. You told me about the lady who went to the specialist.
Yeah.
Tell that on the tape.
Oh, you didn't tape it?
No, I just...
Well, this lady, my father had been treating her, a good friend, he'd been treating her, but she wasn't progressing too well. She thought maybe she ought to go to Lexington to a clinic to see some specialist. She had arthritis. And of course, now she didn't go on a referral, but she did ask Dad if he thought it was all right for her to go. And she said, "Why, yes, ma'am. Anywhere you think that you might get some relief or anything that you might give you some help you, that I would be strongly for you doing it." So he went to went to Lexington to a clinic up there. I can't recall the doctor's name, but he was an old schoolmate of my father's, and he ran her through the clinic and studied her and gave her a lot of x-rays and everything, and at the end, it took all day to go through that clinic. At the end, they come in and talk to the doctor at her desk, and the doctor told her that she had arthritis. And he said, "Well, that's what Dr. Garner said, I have arthritis." But says the only treatment he's given me is aspirin tablets. The doctor said, "Well, what color are they?" She's the one told that it is. Said they're white. I said, "Now, would you rather take his white ones or my pink ones?"
That's good.
I'll tell you, here's another good one that came in one time. And see, he had to fill out there was another job he had to send in, and a lot of them ain't got in, they haven't got in. People didn't send them in, especially when the midwife would be there without the doctor never having no contact with it, for birth certificates. Well, he sent this birth certificate in, and in the summer, used to, they'd hire the students to come around maybe and check with the doctors and why they'd... My dad, she had two or three that he hadn't. One, the date was left on what day of the month it was. It was just, say, like September and no date. Then it came down to this one that he hadn't put a father on. And I remember his answer. She said, "Doctor, you neglected to put the father's name on this." And he looked at it. Said, "Yes, ma'am, I did." He said, "I asked her. She said she didn't know." I said, "She's an honest country girl. When she told me she didn't know, she didn't."
Right. That's a good one. I'm gonna live there because I know you got a wedding coming.
Yeah, and we can get back together. This is really.